epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first, and bind them into bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, the parable of the weeds and the wheat, our Lord is explaining where evil men come from, where evil people come from, and good people come from. In the church. This parable is specifically about the church. Now, we can also interpret it in a wider sense about the world in general, or also in the wider sense about the difficulties in our life, the good and evil. But specifically, the saints, St. Thomas Aquinas, all say this is particularly about the church, the field of the man. Who's the man? Of course, Christ, God. The good in that field, which is the church, comes from Christ himself. He plants the seeds. In what? In our hearts. We are the result of that seed. He brings us into his church. And it is good. His work is good. However, there is evil also in the church. Evil individuals. And he's explaining where that comes from. I think all of us, and we live in an anti-Catholic society now, anti-Christian society, and this is one of the criticisms thrown against the church, some evil action that the church has done in the past, or people today, priests, there's scandal there. Where does this come from? This is your church. Christ is telling us where. It's in the parable. He says, but while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. There are two sources of the evil in the church. Evil individuals. Let's make this clear. Evil individuals. Most of us think it's just the devil sowing the weeds. No. It is also us. While the men were asleep, who are those men? St. Thomas Aquinas says, it's us, the members of the church. The man sowed the seed that's singular, but then the men were asleep. Who is that? It's us. We're not doing our duty. We're not being vigilant. And so the devil comes in, and then he sows the weeds. It can be a little thought, a little, just something very small. The devil sows it, and then he goes away to leave it to germinate on its own. And this can be something as great as, you know, a heresy or a schism or an apostasy, or it can be something as small as my individual mortal sin. I have a false thought or a false understanding. And then it slowly germinates into maybe pride or any of the sins, lust or greed. In the beginning, the wheat and the weeds look almost the same. The blade springs up and they look very similar. Oftentimes, the little seed the devil plants can appear to be good. St. Paul says the devil can appear as an angel of light. He makes it look like something good, but when it comes to fruition, it's not. This is the warning for us as to where these things come from in the church. It is not Christ that any blemish in the church, any evil people who are in the church, don't come from Christ. They come from the devil, or at least I shouldn't say they come from the devil. The devil plants that evil in them, that seed, which then they bring to fruition. It also comes from us, because we're not being vigilant. Now, then he answers the question, why, God, don't you clean out your church? You cleaned out the temple, right? Why don't you keep your church clean? Why don't you, you know, make sure that everyone gets thrown out? He tells us why. Because the good is intertwined with it, right? In the parable, if we pull out the weeds, the roots are intertwined, and we'll pull out the weed also. The saints say, St. Thomas Aquinas also says, that there are a few ways in which this works. First of all, is that for the good, the evil around us becomes our cross. And God can bring an even greater good from it. Right? His crucifixion was a great evil. And he was able to bring a greater good from it. And so it is in our lives that we have to follow him, that we have to carry our cross. And that cross, oftentimes, the evil results of other people. But God can bring a greater good from it. But also, there's another reason, an obvious reason, once we understand the parable, and that is that an evil person can always change. And so, if God were to, you know, do something to remove all the evil people, well, the church would be empty, right? We all go to confession. Anyone not go to confession? I don't think Our Lady's here, right? So everyone goes to confession. That we can change. Think about St. Paul. He thought he was doing good, right? He had that false understanding. He thought he was doing good by persecuting the Christians. But he was deceived, and ultimately he was converted, and he became one of the greatest saints. Other saints also we have who have lived a bad life early, and then they converted. There's a saint, many people might not know this name, Giovanni de Pietro de Bernardore, is Italian. He lived in the Middle Ages. Probably nobody recognizes the name. He's a great saint. He lived in the Middle Ages, but he suffered from vanity and anger when he was a young man. He wanted to be a knight. He wanted to, you know, be have everyone look at him. He wanted to live this great life. And he also enjoyed dressing in fine clothes. So much so, he was Italian, but he would dress in the French fashions, even in the Middle Ages, right? The French were on the cutting edge of fashion, which is, it's okay to dress fashionably, but when it becomes a vice. And for him, he would always dress in French clothes and French fashions, to the point where he got a nickname. And his friends started calling him Francis, because he dressed this way so much. And then, of course, he had a great conversion and became St. Francis of Assisi. Francis is his nickname. It's not his real name. But he lived a bad life. St. Ignatius of Loyola. He was a mercenary. Let's call him for what he is. He was a mercenary. He wasn't a soldier. He was a soldier of fortune. And he converted late in life when he was about 40 years old. And he became a great saint. Another he was a blessed, is Bartolo Longo. Blessed Bartolo Longo. He lived in the 1800s. He was a Satanist, a true blue Satanist who had a conversion. And he converted and then had a great love for Our Lady. For he recognized that she's the one who crushes the head of the devil. And he had a great love for her. And it was through his efforts that a great shrine was built in Pompeii. The shrine to Our Lady of the Rosary. Sometimes many people have heard of this. It was him, Blessed Longo. These are saints who were evil people or sinners who had a true conversion of life. They were weeds. The fruit that they were reaping, that they would have reaped in their life, I guess I should have said it that way, were weeds. But they had a conversion. And this is why our Lord does not destroy the evil people in this world now. He allows them to grow alongside of the good, and then it will only be at the end of time where they will be separated. The angels, those are the reapers, will then separate. The sinners, those who bring forth evil fruit, will be bound together and cast into the fire. And let's not forget, it is very fashionable these days to question whether anyone's in hell. That's not scriptural. It's clear. Our Lord talks about it. The apostles consider Judas as having gone to hell. People go there. It is a true possibility. A few weeks ago when I talked about the devil, the traditional understanding is that the devil swept one-third of the angels with him. Of course, they did it by their own choice. And so that is what he's trying to do here in this world, is sowing the weeds. Now, the church takes this gospel and matches it with this epistle. Why this epistle? Because St. Paul is telling us how we are supposed to live as Christians. And then if we were to understand, based upon the readings, how we are to become a stalk of wheat is right here. What are we to do? We are to live the virtuous life. Have a heart of mercy. Our Lord has mercy on us, and He expects us to be merciful also. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. This is the virtuous life. And, of course, most of all is charity, the divine love. Love is we want good things for the other. Charity is we want the greatest things for others and for God. And then he goes on. It doesn't just end there, but then he begins to describe the fruits of the charitable life. What are the fruits? First of all, peace. May peace reign in your hearts. And then what? Wisdom also. What is wisdom? We use that word a lot. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see God in everything, to connect everything back to God. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's one of the fruits of the spiritual life. And then he goes on to other fruits. More fruits in which we do teach. To teach others, and to admonish others, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, not be listening to secular music all the time, to be listening to good music and to be singing good music, to do these things. And then he sums it up. Whatever you do in word or work, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. God wants everything. He made us for himself. And our only happiness is to be completely with him. He doesn't say, whatever some of the things you do, I guess we should say, some of the things you do in word or work, do it for our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. This is what our Lord wants from us. This is how we are to be his follower. In the end, there's only two places. There's heaven or hell. And God wants us to be with him. He wants us to be the wheat. So in order to do that, we have to strive. We have to pursue the virtues and then let those virtues produce true fruit in our lives. Peace and other actions in our life. This is what we are to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.